Okie dokie. So welcome to you all. We have a new summer Bible class quarter beginning, and the best time to get the habit of summer Bible class attendance started is today by getting engrossed in this, and then hopefully week after week we can stick with this and kind of hold each other to the fire to be in Bible class. Couple opening remarks. This class, you know, minimum, maximum, what you can get out of this. Minimum, we're going to be in God's Word. We're going to be focusing on what God's Word has to say about focusing our hearts on the most important things, our heavenly treasures, our Savior who loves us, and what that means for our lives. And we're going to be going to the Bible and seeing what the Bible has to say about that. So on a minimum level, there's Bible study that's going to happen. But as we move toward a maximum level, it does get quite specific and quite practical with respect to how we manage our financial treasures. So we talk about stewardship of time, talents, and treasures. This is mostly going to be focused on stewardship of our treasures. And we have a workbook for all of you. And there's going to be some homework that we ask you to do. And so if you want to get the most out of this in a practical, how can I plug this into my life sense, you might have some work to do outside of class. And it might actually lead to you taking a really close look at your financial picture and possibly even adjusting some of the ways you do things as your heart hopefully gets more and more focused on what matters most, serving our Savior because He loves us. So that's kind of the spectrum of what you can expect to get from this class. Mike Roush and I are going to be team teaching this. It's probably going to be, you know, me one week, him the next week. We all have vacation plans and we'll be working around those. One thing I want you to know about Mike and me is we are facilitators of this class. So this is a very thorough, well-developed class, and we're going to do our best to guide us through it, but we're by no means financial experts who you can consult on how you want to, you know, make your next investment. Don't expect that from us. I think we're probably going to be able to learn from each other a fair amount. That's another thing I wanted to say too, is I want you to feel comfortable here. So there might be times where we get pretty specific, and we're definitely not going to force anyone to share a single detail about their financial lives that they're not comfortable sharing in front of us. We're probably more going to focus on if there are opportunities to share and people are comfortable sharing, it'll be more sharing experience. And maybe we can learn from each other a little bit. The number crunching is probably happening behind the scenes in private because that would probably not be an appropriate thing to be sharing in front of each other. Let's see, we'll get to that in a second. Plugging it in, not sharing details that you're uncomfortable sharing. Lots of participation. So we've got round table set up. I'm going to call you all table teams. So if there's ever a time where I say, talk about this in your table team, it's the people with whom you're sitting at the table. And maybe from week to week, well, maybe there's benefit in sitting with the same people each week and we get more and more comfortable talking about some of these things with each other. Maybe there's benefit in mixing it up so that we get to know each other with working with different people each week. But there's going to be times to discuss, there's going to be times to share, and we've got a lot of work to do in each one of these sessions. So there's going to be times where it's just think about it, talk about it, share it, moving on. So get ready for what might be a pretty quick pace. Last thing I want to say is as a leader, I haven't led this class before. There's a lot to it. I'm working out of your student guide. I'm working out of the leader's guide. We're flipping PowerPoints. We're showing videos. So I really hope that all goes smoothly. But if any of it gets clunky, please bear with me and we'll make it all happen as smoothly as we can. Let's dive into it. So in your student workbooks, and again, the more writing you do in this, probably the more beneficial this can be. And it's a nice workbook that might serve as a resource beyond this class. So if you take good care of it and you don't doodle in it too much, it might be something worth keeping and it might be a reference down the road. On page 7 in your workbook, there's an introduction. It's a full page. I'm going to read it. I'm going to ask you to follow along with me, and this kind of lays the groundwork for the class. Welcome to the Heart in Focus course. We're so glad you've chosen to participate in this special financial ministry. We're confident that you will find the upcoming sessions to be a benefit, and more importantly, we'll gain a better understanding of how our gracious God views this thing we call money. God is concerned about our financial situation. We sometimes choose to live our lives by separating spiritual matters from money and possessions. In one compartment, we find God and spiritual life, while the other contains all of those things relating to this world. However, the truth is that God doesn't separate these two areas and desires us to bring both into a clearer focus for daily living. In our society, money is both a private and personal matter. We rarely share with our friends our financial worth, the struggles we have in handling money, and yes, even how successful we may be in acquiring wealth. This course includes time for participants to learn from one another and be further enriched through life lessons learned by experience.
Whether you are struggling with debt, challenged by priorities, or extremely blessed and wanting God's guidance, this course has something for you. It's not merely about finances. It goes even deeper. It's about the inner struggles of the heart and the focus of your life. It's about your identity and how you see yourself. It's about how you view your life and its purpose. It's about helping God's people aim their treasures toward their Christ-centered mission in life. The core foundation for financial decisions ought to be the same for spiritual ones, the timeless messages of the Bible. Those messages are not so much about biblical principles for prosperity and success, but about our identity and relationship with God. This creates an intimate connection between our faith and our approach to finances that fuels all of our decisions. The goal of Heart in Focus is to lead you through the important choices and steps in moving your financial life in the right direction. It's not merely theoretical, but works through the practical advice and tools that impact your day-to-day financial life into the future, always aligning with your goals. You will benefit especially by dialoguing with others, sharing insights from your life experiences, and supporting each other in following through with your goals. Our hope and prayer is that you will find Heart in Focus to be a helpful tool as you live in a world influenced by money. God has blessed all of us with abundant wealth. We simply are managing it for Him. May your walk with Jesus continue to be productive and a blessing. Jeff Davis and David Kahle. Somewhere in this book, toward the front, is a little bit of information about those authors. Actually, about the authors on the back. So Jeff Davis actually was my high school principal at Lakeside Lutheran in Lake Mills, Wisconsin. And then he moved out of the teaching ministry and he started Cornerstone Stewardship Ministry. And I think a summary of that is he helps congregations raise money for capital campaigns. So he helps congregations on a stewardship level collectively. And then David Kahle, administrator of Adult Discipleship of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. I'm not sure if he still is. No. He's not anymore. But he was at the time of this Bible study being developed. So a little bit on the authors. So that's kind of the long and the short of what this class is going to be all about. Let's turn our student guides forward to page 9, which says pre-work. We didn't get things moving until this morning, and so the pre-work is something that we're already behind on. So if you're going to be someone who wants to get the most practical aspect out of this, the pre-work is some homework to do between now and next week. So as we page forward a little bit, you can see that it's going to ask you to take a close look at your financial picture. Assets, liabilities, tracking your spending on page 12, a little bit of a history of your financial life, financial autobiography, page 13. Thinking about your values, thinking about your goals, pages 14 and 15. And so that's the homework that you can do to kind of start as a baseline, taking a close look at your financial picture. And the cool thing too, and I think this is going to come out in one of the first questions we ask, we've got a wide variety of people in this room. There's probably people who already, page 12, track their spending in much greater detail than this worksheet does. And there's probably people who very carefully think about their financial values and their goals all the time. And then there might be others who don't track a single cent that they spend and might not spend a whole lot of time thinking about how their spending reflects their goals and their values. So, wide spectrum, but wherever you're at in terms of the thought that you put into your finances, there's going to be opportunities to grow and go forward in this class. Any questions so far about where we're going, what this is all about?
This is date
night. Yeah, there you go. Spend some time with your spouse. Then go on a date and hopefully still be smiling at each other when it's all over.
There won't be any money left.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't afford to go on a date.
Okay, let's advance to page 19 in our student workbooks.
We're just moving along.
19. I'm going to throw two little teaching tidbits at you. One, when you're arranging your classroom, you keep the troublemakers close to you, right up in front. So these troublemakers tried to hide in the back, and then we brought them right up to the front. So that explains this table being where it's located.
But we came willing.
You did. You were pretty willing. Thank you. You should be commended for that. That's praise. Hopefully reinforcing positive behavior, hopefully more will come from that. And then the other thing is to teach lessons that are clearly focused so that when we start a lesson, we know what the expectation is for what we're trying to accomplish today, and then hopefully at the end, we can look back and say, did we accomplish what we tried to accomplish? And our teaching staff went through an in-service study this year called 6 Effective Teaching Strategies, and one of those teaching strategies was having a clear learning target. Sometimes it might be called an objective or a goal or what have you, but we started calling them targets. And so that's the reason for the target on the screen. So what are we trying to do today in our lesson? Which is fixing your eyes on lasting treasure. We are going to strive to become aware of what causes us to chase empty treasures and to fix our eyes on lasting treasure. So there's your law and your gospel. The sinfulness in us, the sinful nature that seeks treasures that are empty, and motivated by Jesus' love, focusing on the treasure that matters most, Jesus and his blessings, as we begin to set up a solid plan for our finances. And then secondly, to realize our present financial situation, reorient our approach to finances, and prepare for the next 5 important steps to keep on track. So there's 6 lessons in this study. We're going to take 1 lesson over 2 weeks because there's so much to cover. So we're only going to accomplish about half of the first lesson today, hopefully, if I ever stop talking. And then the second half next week. So that's how we'll go the rest of the summer. All right, let's get into it here. We're already skipping ahead. Backtrack in your workbooks to the top, right underneath where it says Getting Started, Today's Finances. Before we worry about the slide on the screen, if you could find a word or short phrase to describe the financial picture people face today, what might it be?
Uncertain.
I'll just throw these up here. And abbreviate a little bit. All right, uncertain. Excellent word. Any other thoughts on today's financial picture? Just throw them out. This is a free-for-all. No hands raising necessary. Let's try to get at least 3.
Out of control.
Ooh. How so?
Well, debt.
There you go.
You spend beyond their means.
Yep.
That's
it.
That's debt.
debt.
Maybe one more? Today's financial picture?
Confused.
How so?
Mm-hmm. It's falling off of the uncertainty of things. People are confused on how to do things. No one's ever taught them how.
I educated.
There you go.
The line between wants and needs has become blurred.
Yeah. Yep, wants and needs, that's right. I want it, I need it.
Well, you can justify just about any want.
Yeah.
I do.
I'm good at it.
That's a good start, and you can relate yourself to those things that we came up with, you know, in your head, but those are all really good thoughts about today's financial picture. The other thing I want to say, too, is I'm over the microphone. I think the recorder probably picks me up well. It's not going to pick you up well. So even though we might hear each other, there might be times where I repeat something that you said just to try to get it recorded. So you're all capable of speaking for yourselves, and teachers are actually told to not repeat what their students say as much as possible, but we might have to do some of that. Yes, sir.
I think there's a positive thing that we throw up there, too, and that's hope.
What do you mean by hope?
We all believe that the Lord's going to take care of us. And as a society, as a nation, we're blessed. We have more than we really need. We just have to treat it correctly, and there stewardship comes into play.
So the more and more we understand our Christian stewardship, the more hope there is for getting these negative things on track.
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Financial categories. So we're going to think about this a little bit personally here, and I'm actually going to collect this information so we just kind of get a feel for what are we working with in this group. The course gives us, there's probably more, but it puts together 4 financial categories, and if you want to write these down in your workbook, go ahead. Drowning is kind of the bottom level. You're being chased by creditors. In other words, a lot of debt has accumulated, and maybe you're not even able to pay it in a timely fashion, and they're coming after you. Treading, one paycheck from disaster. So maybe you're keeping your head above water, but as soon as an unforeseen expense or a job loss comes up, then it's going to be bad news. Rolling means you're doing fine. You probably have a decent amount saved, and you're meeting your day-to-day ongoing financial needs. and you probably don't have a ton of debt and everything's okay. And if you're flying, you're well off for now and into the future. So you're about as financially sound as you could be. If you don't mind, and we're going to do this in an anonymous way, there's little slips of paper on your tables. If you could, and maybe we have to be a little bit careful about, you know, looking at each other's and so forth, but if you could just write down what you think your financial category is at this point in time.
I think we have a category that's under
money. And if you don't want to do this, you don't have to. And if you want to fold them, and I'm not going to pay careful attention to what I'm grabbing, but then I'm going to count them up here really quickly, and we can just kind of get a snapshot of the group. And if you're a husband and a wife, and you only want to write one for both of you, but maybe you don't agree, in which case you can write two.
Well, yeah, but if you want to count them up too, together,
we'll come back to you momentarily.
Yeah, you may be rolling.
So you can see in your workbook what you just wrote on a little slip of paper. Where do you place yourself? If you want to replicate that in your workbook, there's a blank line for you there.
Did I get them all?
Okay. You keep talking, I'll tabulate. Right.
Secondly, back to the slips of paper. And this will take a little bit longer for you to flesh this out. And if you want to replicate this in your workbook, please feel free, but I want to collect this information from you as well. On a separate piece of paper, list three burning questions you would like answered by this course. Maybe you don't have three, maybe you only have one, but just kind of search your soul for a moment and see if there's any questions on your mind about financial stewardship that you hope this course covers for you. Mike and I will take a look at these, and then as we progress through the summer, we'll try to make sure your questions get answered.
People are making up categories.
I made up.
This is going to be.
No,
I thought you were grabbing them out of the stack.
So we're writing down burning questions while we count up our categories.
Okay.
And maybe each table team can have a collector of the questions, so when we go around, we can just grab them from one person. I'm not Noel, and I won't be filling awkward silence with Spanish serenades.
That was funny.
While you're working, I'll share the results. The good news is nobody categorized themselves as drowning, so hopefully we're not a group that's in terrible amount of debt and being chased for it. We've got one treading, seven rolling, and two flying. So that's a pretty wide range of financial pictures of people in the room. And hopefully as we have opportunity to share experiences along the way, those different perspectives will come out. And there's probably some people flying or rolling who once were treading. So there's a lot of relating that can be done here. Tell you what, with the burning questions...
like a call meeting, by the way.
Oh, yeah. We're probably done writing on slips of paper. With the burning questions, since we're not going to address them right now, if you just want to make a clear pile of them on your table, and you can even keep writing them as we go along here, we'll collect them at the end. All right, moving forward. So let's go to the top of page 20 in our workbooks. Let's talk about these quickly amongst ourselves and our table teams. Describe the hidden emotions that often accompany life's financial challenges. Emotions.
Anger.
Go.
Oh.
Fear. Talk for a little bit.
Anger, fear. Good. Oh, wow.
And they don't all have to be negative necessarily.
The pastors to counsel young couples that are going to be married,
Okay, really quickly, if you have a hidden emotion, maybe each table will start with this one. We'll go like this, and maybe a person from that group can throw out a hidden emotion that that table discussed. If they've all been covered by the time we get to your table, I guess you just say pass. Any hidden emotions here?
Sarah? We just talked about the...
Yeah, that's why you're in front.
Yeah.
The stress that it can bring, like, in your relationships, like, particularly spouse relationships, that financial worries bring in.
So the stress.
Yeah.
Excellent. That table?
Guilt and pride.
How so? Wait, how so guilt?
I would imagine not.
Should I be doing more? Should I be doing this? Why am I not doing that?
And how come he's doing it and I can't?
And pride? Look how good I'm doing, right? Excellent. That table?
So which one do you want?
We need some positive. We had two negatives. Let's get some positive.
Right for the front.
we also said excitement maybe over the fact that we are doing well and that we have the blessings.
Or maybe over if it's a financial challenge, overcoming it and coming out on the other side. Good. Anything up here? Hit any emotions?
I think you have like this tension and emotion. Just talk about. Create tension. Either it could be in a relationship, like husband wife, it could be like a business, if you own a business. Something needs to be cut and you have to decide what to do.
Yeah, and then how does that tension or stress weigh on you and affect other aspects of your life? I don't know what the stat is, but I've heard it thrown out there that one of the greatest sources of strife in marriages is financial things. Okay, good examples. Let's keep moving here. Two types of situations that negatively impact finances. The first being the kinds of evil that enter our lives because of the love of money. We've got 1 Timothy chapter 6, 9 and 10 there shaded. Let's collectively read that Bible scripture lesson together. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. We're going to do two things with that. We're going to go back to there just so you can't see what's on the screen. The first thing I want you to do, and if you want to do this individually or consult among team members, we're going to go through and circle. We're going to go, it's a kind of a cause and effect relationship, but we're going to start with the effects, the outcomes. So when there's a wrong attitude toward financial resources, this can result. So these are probably going to be nouns from this section that the Apostle Paul wrote. Looking for nouns, it calls it fallout or negative result of a less than God-pleasing perspective on financial resources. Okay, really quickly, let's throw some of those out there. What are you circling?
After many years, the thing that I finally got in that, the love of money. That key word.
It's not money, it's the love of it.
Yeah.
And they change it.
It's not, God doesn't say, don't have money.
It used to be.
Right.
Don't love money over him.
I'm sorry, I can't help but go back to the Chris Jensen country song. It's the Buy Me a Boat song, but I keep hearing that money is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
He misspeaks the scripture there.
Yep.
It's the love of. So it's the attitude in the heart.
Yeah.
Good. Not money itself. Negative, the fallout. What are the nouns here? What are the bad results?
Trap.
Okay.
Ruin.
Temptation.
Destruction.
All right. Compare that with what? Our Bible class creators have. We heard trap, we heard ruin, we heard destruction, evil, and then lastly, griefs. Secondly, take the same scripture lesson. Now we're going to underline instead of circle. Go through and try to find verbs,
actions, attitudes that cause these fallouts to happen. So we just looked at the effects. Now let's go back to the cause. All right, let's throw them out there. The verbs, the causes of the negative effects.
Temptation.
Plunge.
Food. Desire.
Wander.
Fierce.
Want to
get rich?
Yes.
Excellent.
Eager.
Want to get rich. Love of money. Eager for money.
Wander for the faith.
They're all up there.
So it's the desires that cause these negative fallouts. And we're trying to, these are being painted by the apostle, not by me, as negatives. When these things have too high of a priority in our lives, and this is what we're all about, and this is consuming us, wanting money, loving money, then the things that we're pursuing with that bad attitude are going to be negative. Let's keep going in our workbook. So we've got kinds of evil entering our lives because of a love of money. Secondly, the unexpected, uninvited, and unforeseen guests that may also come to challenge our financial scene. Let's read James chapter 4, 13 and 14 together. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will make money. Why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? So the other aspect of it is we don't have everything in our lives under control, and there are things that come up that we can't expect. You think of Job, a guy who did have a very strong faith and was very closely connected to his God, and still unpleasant things came up in his life. So we don't want to take the approach that because my faith is strong enough, because I've got my attitude in the right place, that there aren't ever going to be things that come up that we can't prepare for unexpectedly and so forth. We live in a sinful world, and this is just part of living in a sinful world. All right, let's keep going. From a group or your table team, we're going to introduce ourselves to each other. We probably don't need to do that. And we can look back to the passages we just read, but you've got a couple of questions to think about. Compile the top five fallouts that result from an improper focus on money. And you can go back to the verse for that. We already talked about these a little bit. Maybe you also think about those fallouts in present-day life. When we have an improper love of money, what are the fallouts that happen to people today? And they might be the same as the fallouts that the Apostle Paul talked about. And share some financially challenging, unexpected guests you have observed or experienced. So I'll give you a couple minutes to discuss that at your table.
Top five fallouts. Well,
I think it was just the light.
You stop trusting God.
Just the light. Because of his faith and the desire not to, he keeps the Sabbath holy. And that's just a revolving fact. There's a lot of organizations.
That's not a fallout from an improper focus on money.
Why not? If you choose to work on the Sabbath.
Oh, I see you. You see,
we are like bookends, the opposite side.
I don't know, Sarah. You got one?
If there's two ends there, you can like all these stresses and things like all these things don't have enough, but then you can like think of other people who win the lottery and their lives just fall apart because they have so much.
They never learned how to handle it.
And then you, I think when you have so much, you're always wanting the first thing, like this is what I want, this is when you get it, and then you're never, you're always looking to the next thing.
Yes, and protecting what you have, and you get from it too. That the heart of giving starts to go away.
Well, your self-worth, when you establish your self-worth based on whether you have or not, it really makes it
and then also make it a job.
It's how do you spend your money?
If you could be a creative, but if you don't have a good focus.
If you're still on A, maybe try to spend a little time with B, thinking about unexpected guests.
And you don't hide, or you become so independent that you forget that God, everything that you have is a gift from God.
So you start to separate yourself from,
so you think, it's me. It's all about you.
So I guess, like, if you want to be, like, the lack of contentment that becomes one of those unexpected things.
Yes.
Where maybe all along you think that, I just think about money.
Yep.
Oh, money will fix everything.
And all of a sudden you have it, and it's still not okay.
And everybody you know wants.
Okay, I'm going to bring it back together. I think most of us spent some time with A and B both.
It went on ancestry.com.
Maybe at your table you appoint somebody to be your spokesperson again. We'll kind of go around. Compile a top five fallouts, or top five fallouts that result from an improper focus on money. Let's just share one at a time so that no group takes all of them. We're going to start with a different table this time, the Webb Roush Roth table back there. Throw out a fallout. Good. Over here?
Wandering from the faith.
Excellent. Wandering from the faith. This table up front? Fallout?
You could probably say greed. We were talking more in the context of family wills. What did somebody's passing away? What did they leave me?
Okay, and that can result in, kind of back to, we were probably thinking broken relationships like maybe husband-wife, but even family relationships.
Yeah.
Good. Talking about inheritances and so forth. Let's go around one more time. Fallouts? Or actually, you guys didn't go yet. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What's your first fallout?
It can establish your self-worth and how you view yourself.
And if your self-worth is based on your
need or too much, if you have too much, you think it's all because you're great and you lose your focus on God. And if you're on the other end of the spectrum, you feel like you're not good enough and you don't, you know, there's something lacking in you.
So in both directions, it's too much focus on self, and it needs to be on Jesus. And what ultimately defines your self-worth, it has nothing to do with the worth of material things. It has the worth that God said you were worth. What are you worth?
Basically, everything we have is a gift from God, so.
You're worth a perfect Savior's life, right? That's your worth. Good, one more time around, back to table. Another fallout if we haven't said them all yet.
Well, time spent in worrying.
And if we're talking about stewardship of time, talents, and treasures, all of a sudden, treasures is now impacting time, and we're not serving our Lord with our time as effectively as we could. Good. Back there?
Ruin and destruction. Part of the verse.
Rock bottom.
Yeah, you can get so busy trying to build a business, you can collapse a business and be ruined and go broke. And then you start feeling, again, your self-worth goes down. If you can ruin relationships while trying to achieve the goals of money.
A lot of people left. In the wake is what I was trying to say, right?
The destruction in the wake of some of this is horrible.
Good, let's do two more up here. Fallouts, any others that we haven't said yet?
Describing the spending. Needlessly on things that you need to spend that much money on something.
Right, and maybe you acquire all kinds of stuff and you don't even have time to use it all because there's
toys.
So much.
Toys, you know that, toys.
How does that go? The something of the something is...
A man.
He who dies with the most toys wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only problem is if you're dead, who's got your toys?
Okay. Well, also...
That's another aspect of this is the...
To give money to God. If you... You know, it's just like the focus, if your focus is on money, it's just like they're always asking for money at church. They always need this, they always need that, and then boom, you know, I'm just done with this. You know, all they want is money.
If on this side of heaven we were capable of perfect financial stewardship, the church probably wouldn't be asking for money. The church would probably not have enough things it could do with all the money in it. Right, and the key thing too is not wealth itself. Is not sin. We just got to keep analyzing the attitudes of our hearts. Good. Let's go to unexpected guests. We'll start here again. And things that can come up in our lives that we're not prepared for that can really hurt us financially.
Acquiring guardianship of a 6-year-old.
The experts.
You thought you had it all figured out and you were sailing off into the sunset, and then comes along a 5-year-old. That's about as unexpected as it can get. Thank you. But what a blessing, right?
Oh,
you wouldn't,
absolutely.
You wouldn't change it
for
anything.
That's not a complaint.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Unexpected guess?
But it took us from flying to rolling.
Illness.
Yeah, and then subsequent medical costs and things that can be astronomical. Thank you. Unexpected guess? Okay, so we had a steady income. We were maybe treading, and it's hard to tread when we lost that income. Unexpected guess?
Home repairs.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes they,
we did that
they come all at once, right?
Our first house was all unexpected home repairs.
The money pit?
It was a really cute one, though. Cute money pit.
Yeah.
Excellent. So the cost of home ownership. Let's go around one more time. Unexpected guests. Any others up here?
I just thought of so often do people think if they're struggling that if they just had more money, then all these problems would go away. And then if they find themselves all of a sudden they have plenty, then there's that lack of contentment kind of comes in because you think that that was all the answers and you have what you need and then you just always want more and more.
So all the problems money was going to solve, now all of a sudden it's not solving.
Right,
so
like all those people who win the lottery, and you know, this is the answer to all, we'll never have a problem again, and then they end up broke and like they lose everything.
Excellent.
Stock market crash.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
yeah.
A pretty big unexpected guess for the home, the real estate market struggles.
Yeah.
Back there, any other unexpected guess?
Well, I just said like relatives, like not necessarily the 6-year-old. It could be a parent or or sibling or
Both ends of the family spectrum. Good. Any other unexpected guess?
A family member needing rehab.
Yeah.
Good. One more up here. Unexpected guess. Pretty much exhausted them all. Okay, so on this side of heaven, in a sinful world, there are going to be unexpected guests. And we're talking about all the balancing that goes on in our attitude toward financial blessings. One of those balances is just realizing that, well, in this class, for example, we can't necessarily have a good enough financial plan. We want to plan. We want to be prepared for unexpected things, but we also have to keep our eyes on Jesus and trust that ultimately, whether the comings and goings of life are good or bad, it's God who's got us in our hands and trusting that when He says He's taking care of us, He truly is. All right, let's keep moving. We got about 15 minutes left. So again, we're going top of page 21. We've got the opportunity to read the Bible, Matthew chapter 6. Let's read it together. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And it was Jesus who said those words. The question is, list some more common treasures on earth that capture people's hearts. Let's not even spend time in our tables. Let's just throw these out. Let's go for five. Five treasures that capture our hearts.
Home.
Home.
And pets.
Yes.
I know, right? You sense some jealousy? Or maybe some misappropriated
Sarah.
Love?
Whenever I think of that, I think of that show that I watch occasionally, American Pickers. That kind of sums everything up, where the guy stores up all this stuff, a lot of it's rust. He's never going to sell anything. And then the next episode, his kids are begging to sell this to get rid of all the junk. Yeah. So
the quantity of treasures.
Yeah.
To the point that I'm not an expert on this, but it's actually kind of almost an illness, the desire to just,
it is.
Especially the way it's presented in shows like that. Good. Any other treasures that capture our hearts on earth?
I think sometimes it's like keeping up with, I see this in maybe the middle school kids, like keeping up with the newest thing, like the next technology, the next great shoe, whatever it is.
The great
like
shoe.
You just have to say you get caught up in those treasures. I got to keep up with that. Because that's what the next door neighbors are doing, and that's what this person's doing, or whatever.
Absolutely. And you think of like the advances in technology, always having to have the latest and the greatest.
I think sometimes our kids, and this, I mean, your kids are a treasure, but the things that they need are not necessarily all material. But sometimes we want to just give, like buy things for them to make them happy.
So there's a treasure aspect of that. And then I think last summer when we talked about idols we didn't know we had, we even talked about our children, right, as being idols we didn't know we had. We set them up almost like they're gods on a pedestal and just mismanaged.
Mismanaged the gift.
Focus on them, right, or whatever. Okay, good. Good examples. The book here, the editors, put together a couple of graphics. And the first one represents the old self. And if you want to write these words in your workbook, they're not in your workbook, they appear on the screen though. So what we have here is the old self represented by that heart and the arrow pointing to the left. The old self is a strong inner pull that naturally lives for its own satisfaction. Its cravings for treasures on earth lead us to make the wrong choices. So it's kind of a progression. It starts with something that we see with our eyes, and now it's in our head. It becomes a want. And then that want or that desire for something that our eyes see starts to affect us internally, and it becomes something that is now affecting our emotions. We want it more. How can we acquire it? And then the next piece of that is those things in our heads are now becoming actions, and we're actually taking the steps to acquire it is, whatever it is that our eyes saw from the beginning.
Matt?
Yeah.
Isn't that called great salesmanship or marketing?
Right, and that's a good point. We've got our sinful nature, but then we also have, we talk about the big three, the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. And the sinful flesh wants these things that appeal to our earthly lives, our sinful hearts. But then we have the world working against us as well, because it is dialed into how can we make the sinful nature want, think, act, right? And it's expert. And it works.
Marketing is based on emotion.
Right. I think of hand-cooked tires, driving emotion. Whatever. Go ahead.
I was saying sometimes the commercials are aimed at making us want what we didn't even know existed.
Yeah.
We're not just wanting, making us feel we need it.
Oh, the whole, like, you can't live without this.
I love it. Well, I mean, it's basically what they're saying. Only the wise and the good have this. Yeah. Okay.
Deserve.
You deserve it.
Like it. Oh,
deserve,
yeah, that's
very common. Appealing to the emotions.
Don't you deserve to drive this car?
So we could talk a lot about this. And the interesting too is some of us are in job fields where this is what we do. We're trying to get people to buy what we have to sell. Yes. And hopefully we're doing that in a God-pleasing way. But yeah, the sinful nature and the world make it really easy to fall into this trap. Let's see, there's a couple questions here. Identify tricks of materialism and consumerism that attract our eyes and successfully pull at our hearts. We've kind of already talked about this a little bit. Any other tricks that we haven't discussed that are worth mentioning?
Guilt. They lay guilt on you.
Can you give an example?
If you don't provide this for your kid, if you don't have it, yeah.
To the point that I'm not being a good father to my family because I'm not acquiring whatever it is.
When the kids can work on you pretty good too.
Yes.
And grandkids, oh, I have to have that. You do, huh?
And they know how to appeal to kids, right? And get them on top on their parents.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I can remember as a kid the JCPenney catalog. And going through that and circling all the things we wanted for Christmas or our birthdays or whatever.
The wish book, yeah.
Go ahead.
It's gonna come to me now. You get within 50 feet of a store and it's pinging you on your phone. Guess what's in this store today, right? And then I went into Home Depot. And, oh, there's this. It just pops up.
Yo.
All the crap.
Yeah.
I can help you with that.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Boom.
Well, you think of all the ways that Amazon has made it easy, right? It stores your credit card, and all you have to do is one. It's pretty much just one click, and it's on the way.
Impulse buy is going up.
Right, because it's so easy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, and you can pay for it before you have the money to pay for it. Next question. Describe some of the personal emotions and attitudes that lure us into spending. We've kind of heard some of these. Any more? We've heard you deserve it. We've heard
competition.
Oh. You know, there's one that people don't often think about, but it's grief. Mm-hmm. They actually say that after somebody has passed away,
yeah, well,
it feeds that emptiness.
Mm-hmm. And it might even not take grief to that extent, right? We can probably relate to times where we were just feeling down about something, and the kind of the self-healing was to buy something to make us feel better.
Whenever you're feeling bad, you just go shop. Shoes are a good cure.
Chocolate.
There can be an organic component too with mental illness and compulsive behaviors and that sort of thing.
Sure. Thank you for sharing that, keeping that in perspective. Okay, so recognize, there's some advice there in the dotted box at the bottom of page 21. Recognize and avoid the pull of instant gratification. Amazon Prime, it's on your doorstep a day later. You don't have to pay for shipping, it's just immediate. All right, let's keep moving. We're going to take these very quickly. Lies about money and possessions. Money will give me success, respect, power, happiness, freedom, security. We could probably go through each of those in pretty short order and come up with a counterexample of how money isn't the answer or isn't going to provide necessarily those things that we think it will. We are going to keep moving there.
Yeah, all of those things are fleeting. Here today, gone tomorrow.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They don't have any staying power.
And one of our next Bible verses is going to talk about the treasure that has staying power. Eternal staying power, right? So that's where we're headed. Thank you. Bottom of page 22.
Sorry.
I think we're going to make this homework for the sake of time. Examine for yourself the things of the world that especially pull at your heart and identify how this happens. So even if we took some time to do this now, this would not be something that we'd share in front of each other. So if you want to do the pre-work as homework, page 22 would also be a little bit of good self-analysis. Examining the things that pull at your heart and do a little bit of soul searching that way. Let's go to the top of page 23. And Jesus talking in Matthew chapter 6. Let's read together. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Okay, so back to our table teams. Talking about real treasures now. We've spent most of our time talking about the allure of not real treasures, the treasures of this world. Now let's talk about the real treasures. Question A for your group. It's easy to be attracted to the visible treasures of the world, yet many of the treasures in heaven are unseen. What are the treasures in heaven that are so valuable for us to focus upon? And that Bible verse can help you with that. And then secondly, list ways we store up treasures in heaven. I'll give you a couple minutes to reflect on those two in your group. I think it's safe, too. These treasures in heaven can be experienced on earth. It's not just what's waiting for us after this life. Most of us are still working on A. If you could start to transition to B, we're down to about 5 minutes left in the class. We'll try to wrap up this discussion in about 90 seconds.
Yeah. you want to update it?
Okay, let's come back together. We're going to start at the pluck hand Ennis table this time. And we'll just go around, kind of one at a time. Let's focus on the treasures in heaven that are unseen and yet so valuable for us to focus upon.
Yeah, the simple one, eternal life with Jesus. I mean, I remember my classes too from many years ago. Just say Jesus and you'll be probably right.
Jesus is definitely the right answer to that one. Let's go here.
Just the idea of having no pain, stress, strife, like we can't picture what that's like, but we know that that's waiting for us when we get to heaven.
On this side of heaven, pain, stress, strife, sadness, it's all going to be gone in heaven. This table? Any other treasures in heaven that we need to focus on?
Peace and contentment.
Peace and contentment, and that's really a treasure in heaven that starts to be experienced on earth, right? If our perspective on our earthly treasures is proper, and most importantly our focus is on our real treasure, then we can start to experience that contentment even before we pass on to eternity. Go ahead.
We had all the loved ones that will be in heaven with us, our treasures, our kids, our grandkids, our parents.
The reunion.
Family reunion.
Yeah. All the way back to Adam, right?
Yeah.
Good. Any other treasures in heaven that we haven't said yet? Okay. Yeah, we probably exhausted the list. List ways that we store up these treasures in heaven.
Studying God's Word.
In the Word. Excellent.
Making sure your children know, too. That's the greatest thing that you can do for your kids is teach them about Jesus. So
they bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but the number of times I work with new school families, they're not strongly invested in a church, and you know they like the idea of their kid being exposed to Christianity or the moralness of it all, but I'm just going to let my child find his way. And again, preaching to the choir, and I've had lengthy conversations with some of you about this, but we see value in eating our vegetables and we make our kids eat their vegetables. We see our value in kids getting enough sleep and we give them a bedtime. And then when it comes to the most important thing that eternity rests on, and we just say, I hope you figure it out because I don't want to impose my beliefs on you. Go ahead.
Service to others.
Yep, service.
Is the way you say it. You know, not for your benefit, but that, you know, as Jesus did, which he said, as you did unto them, you did unto me.
And that ultimately brings a great reward to us as well, right? When we're truly acting on behalf of others.
You're not making little marks on it. You're doing it for the good.
Good. All right, we're going to try to wrap this up because I hear bells ringing. Let's read 1 Peter 1 together. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. So to break down what we've done in just kind of two buckets, we looked at the human factor, which is stained by our sinful hearts, and then that's the law aspect of this, and it stares us in the face and we see ourselves sinning all the time when it comes to our earthly treasures. We turn our focus to God, and that's the only solution that turns our hearts toward truly being focused on the heavenly treasure that matters. Really quickly, we're just going to get to the bottom of page 23. When we're focused on that lasting treasure, we've got Jesus being our priceless treasure, heirs of heaven, faith and hope in our hearts, and it's not about this world, it's about the world to come. And then let's very quickly just take a look at the other graphic. The counter to the sinful self is the new self. It's the same graphic, only the arrow's pointing to the right. And why the left and the right? It's a different direction. It's the opposite direction of the sinful self. So now, God creates a new self in us that focuses our eyes on treasures in heaven. This strong pull is motivated by the gospel of Jesus and directs our decision making. Seeing Jesus, loving Jesus, wanting to serve him because of what he's done for us has the power to help us make God-pleasing decisions with our actions, with our energy, our time and talents and so forth. Let's wrap up with a quick prayer and then we'll pick up with a video next time. We were hoping to watch the video today just to give you a taste of that aspect of the class, but we're going to have to pick that up next time. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, please forgive us for all the times that our sinful self, our old Adam, influenced us to make bad decisions, decisions that focus too much on earthly treasures and sometimes even leads us to take sinful actions to acquire those earthly treasures. Please turn our hearts. Please help us to see Jesus, who lived a perfect life, died on the cross, rose again victoriously, now rules our hearts in heaven. Help us to see Jesus and help his love for us motivate us for our hearts to turn and to be spending our energy and taking action in ways that please you. Having a healthy perspective on earthly treasure, putting all of our focus on our heavenly treasure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, thank you for a good start today, and let's try to keep the momentum. Maybe our class even grows in the weeks to come, but we'll see you again next week.
Thank you, sir. Save that for next week.
Yep. Oh, these are my kids' future. Oh, oh, see, Jerry. Oh, my. Oh, my.